Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of 24/7 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com or call 662-446-1048. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Anna.
That would be a little weird.
My friend, this is one we've never had before, to my knowledge. Anna is a prehistoric Plaquemine culture archaeological site.
Oh.
10 miles north of Natchez.
So we got some dinosaurs down there?
I don't know, man. What is Plaquemine culture? Are they Indians? Were they Native Americans? Let's see what that is. If I can, well, first thing that pops up is a fruit.
Well,
oh, I got to know more. I got to know more about Plaquemine culture. There we go. Okay, so this is one of those things Wikipedia does. 1200 to 1700 CE. I don't know what CE is. Is that AD or BC? I need those.
CE.
I need before Christ or Anno Domini. That's what I need. I can't do. What is CE? Now I'm asking.
Common
another,
era.
Right? What is CE?
Common era.
The common era. So, when does the common era start?
I could not tell you.
Okay, so Common Era is the same as AD. So that starts.
Why are we doing that?
I'm not for that. Yeah, I understand. You know, maybe some atheists are getting triggered. This one you're just going to have to get over. Okay. Normally, I'm all about, look, if it bothers somebody, maybe we can just get around not saying it. This is one I'm not willing to concede on.
Well, there you go.
Before Christ, Anno Domini. That's all it is. All right. I was born in 1975 AD, not CE. Now, I've got myself all worked up on the first ad read. Strange Brew Coffeehouse. I feel so bad sometimes when we get into these rants, and I'm like, supposed to be talking about coffee.
But you got to.
I hear you. If you want some uncommon coffee, get some Strange Brew Coffeehouse delivered right to your door, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pitt Printing and Signs down in Ridgeland. Guys, it's a business that's been open for 30 years, serving other businesses here in the state of Mississippi. If you need envelopes, forms, banners, any kind of graphics, any kind of 3D signage, Pitt Printing can take care of you. Call Camden Baker. I've got Young on here for some reason. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 and talk to him directly. This is the owner of the business, and he's telling you, you can call him directly and take care of your business needs. And don't forget, when you make a sale with Pitt Printing, when you make an order with them, all you got to do is say, hey, I heard about this on Thunder and Lightning. Hey, I heard that you guys do something with the Bulldog Initiative. And boom, a percentage of your sale is going straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That's the best. It's not even going in Pitt Printing's name. It's going in your name. So you are benefiting Mississippi State Athletics anytime you make a purchase at Pitt Printing. 30 years worth of experience in this business. I think you can trust them. And if, like I said, they are a good Bulldog business. 601-499-5216 or visit them online at pipridgeland.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. I left out College Corner. I'll come back to you. I'll come back to you, College Corner. Don't you worry. I won't leave you behind. They are Starkville's flagship restaurant, though. Restaurant Tyler is. For breakfast, I'm calling breakfast and brunch kind of the same thing here on a Sunday. I mean, are you really dragging yourself out of bed early enough for breakfast? No, you're getting breakfast at brunch. That's why it's called, you know, it's the bruh part of it, right?
Sure.
Sure.
If I'm eating brunch, I'm not eating.
Are you more of a breakfast lunch kind of person? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting a burger or anything at lunch, right? You're getting
correct
breakfast. See, it's breakfast.
Yeah.
So breakfast, lunch, dinner, they got you covered at Restaurant Tyler. If you haven't been by yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. This holiday season, head to Restaurant Tyler for a true special occasion, which is a meal at Restaurant Tyler. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. This holiday season, you got Mississippi State fans in your family. You've got Ole Miss fans in your family. You know, we can't avoid them. Robbie's got them. I've got them. It's just our burden to bear. So take care of them with some great gifts from College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can always just shop online at collegecornerstore.com. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They're here to serve you. Let Priority One Bank build a relationship with you and your family that's going to last for a long, long time. Community banking, such a big deal here in this state. And Priority One Bank, if you live in Central Mississippi, you know there's a location near you. If you're already a Priority One customer, you know how great their app is. It's smooth. It's streamlined. It do a lot more on there than just move your money around. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find the location nearest you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. So here's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about recruiting. Normally when we talk about recruiting, Robbie, it's because commitments are coming in. And at this moment, that's not the case for Mississippi State. Could change. Might not. But, and you know, when you have a change in coaching staff and when you get new people involved, there's always like a quick rush of recruiting, right? There's always new names get thrown on the board because the guys those coaches were recruiting at their old schools, they get on your board now, and I get that. But this is as much positive smoke as I can remember around Mississippi State recruiting in quite some time. There's a lot of smoke that Stonka Burnside will be back in the class. There's a lot of smoke that Mississippi State's going to be able to flip a couple of guys from some Power 5 schools. Obviously, we're going to talk about the transfer portal in just a minute with Dylan Gabriel and the other quarterbacks that are out there. You know, you were at the state championship games this past week, so you know, you're seeing around a lot of those prospects. You're seeing, you know, you talked to those guys. You talked to Stonka Burnside just a week ago. Am I wrong in this, or is there just a lot of positive momentum with Mississippi State minus the actual commitments at this point?
Yeah, there seems to be some movement behind the scenes, and there's right now that's pretty much all it is until something actually happens, some announcements are made or some official visits are made, things like that. I think there's obviously some major smoke around San Francisco McGee, who just decommitted from Ole Miss, who was a heavy favorite to land at Mississippi State before he committed to Ole Miss. And if you remember, he hadn't really been to Ole Miss until he committed to him. You know, he went on that trip, and then a couple weeks later he was committed to him, and it was like that was one of the first trips he had made. He was going to land in the class with J.J. Harrell and Stonka Burnside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Noel White was in there for a little bit as well as a possibility. And there was some talk that, you know, some people had said that it was a mutual decision. Some people had said he was dropped by Ole Miss. I don't have any you know, clarification on that one way or the other. But I do know that he had a really good year. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to look at the season that he had and say, you know, this guy isn't a good player.
I mean, at this point, has Ole Miss literally ever lost a recruit that they want?
No.
Ever had a player that they wanted that didn't sign with Ole Miss?
No, I don't think so.
And then, obviously, this is just another one of those.
I mean, if this guy was good enough to play for you in the summer and the season he had was really good, what did he do that told you, you know, maybe he's not good enough to play for us? I don't understand.
Right.
It's not like he got smaller or wasn't running faster than he ran in the summer. I've never understood that. I was trying to see if he has his stats up here. I mean, he had 1,229 yards and 15 touchdowns this year. He basically had the same season that Stonka Burnside had.
Clearly, Ole Miss is just going after bigger fish.
Which I will say, like, I think that they're going after a couple of guys that are other Power Five wide receivers, but that's just weird to me.
Yeah. Well, let's just call it what it is. He doesn't want to go to Ole Miss. He's going to go. And apparently, this has become a thing now that Ole Miss, Jeremy Scott, the Callaway receiver, decommitted from there. It looks like the Ole Miss in-state recruiting push of the summer was going to be put on the back burner as we get to this point, which is good news for Mississippi State because maybe there's some quality prospects like San Francisco McGee that they can get back on. You'd love to see a guy like Cameron Beavers come open. I don't think that's going to be the case. And certainly not going to be the case until Mississippi State figures out the defensive coaching staff, which we'll talk about a little bit later. You have some national prospects making some noise right now as well. If Kendall Jackson, the four-star defensive tackle from Florida, who was committed to Florida, who just recently, what's the word I'm looking for?
Decommitted.
Decommitted. Yeah, I couldn't get decommitted out of my mouth there for some reason. Apparently, David Turner never stopped recruiting the kid, so maybe possibility there. Very interesting name is Michael Van Buren, who was a four-star quarterback who was committed to Oregon. He has decommitted from Oregon. Apparently, Lebby and he have a very good relationship, and there's a possibility, you know, that there's some smoke around him with Mississippi State. You know, when Lebby was hired, we talked about he gives you some instant credibility in recruiting, and I guess we're seeing the early results of that. Do you expect to see – I'm not going to make you pin you down and ask you about a specific player, but are you going to be surprised if there's a four-star kid, five-star kid? Five-star might be stretching it. But a highly rated out-of-state kid that Mississippi State wasn't in on, you know, a month ago, 2 months ago, that all of a sudden appears on the radar and ends up in this class?
Not at all, just because the what he's proven on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, that's going to be an attractive offense to come play for. Because especially if you get a nice transfer quarterback in here, you know, people want to go where they're going to have a lot of yards. And that includes quarterbacks and wide receivers and even running backs. This offense has produced for all those positions. So, yeah, I mean, I could very easily see them being a attractive destination, just like they would be in the transfer portal, and they should be. But, you know, nothing has really transpired just yet. I think they're kind of getting started. I mean, a lot of people are starting to freak out already.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
He's been hired for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just got here. So, look, I'm going to let him, like, get his bearings a little bit and get some relationships built and things like that first.
One very interesting name, not a high school player, not a transfer portal player, is a JUCO player, Deion Smith. What an interesting ride this kid has had. Was the top-rated prospect in the state a few years ago, was committed to Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead, decommits, ends up at LSU. He had a really good first season at LSU, but evidently had some academic issues. Ends up at EMCC, but those academic issues follow him there, and he can't get on the field for EMCC. Transfers again to Holmes County Community College, and now he seems to have finally put things together. Ever since he left LSU, this kid has been earmarked for Ole Miss, connected with Espy and Shea Hodge and those guys, and it's been, you know, just like he's going to Ole Miss. But apparently State has put a foot in the door here, at least, and has got his interest enough to have an official visit. Is there any chance on this earth that Deion Smith ends up at Mississippi State?
I'm just not buying it.
Okay.
I'm just one of those people.
I'm with you.
I'm always skeptical about these kids that people say Mississippi State has a chance, the DD Bowies, the guys like that, you know, State gets in the game with. This kid has been rumored to Ole Miss for like 3 years. And he has the connections to Shea Hodge and Mike Espy. And if anybody tells you that those guys are just calling it right down the middle, and that, I mean, I got some oceanfront property in Sturgis for you. Those guys want those kids to go to Ole Miss. I don't care what anybody says.
Correct.
And they want that kid at Ole Miss. And I think Ole Miss wants him too. And I think that's a kid that they will overpay in an NIL for. They're not going to – you know how bad that would look for Mississippi State to come in and get Deion Smith from Ole Miss. That would not be a good development for them. It's kind of like what we've talked about with Quinshon Judkins. They're going to make sure he never goes anywhere because it's bad for optics.
Right.
Plus, he's just a really good player. I mean, Deion Smith, if he is right, if he doesn't have the great issues.
Explosive player.
He is probably one of the top wide receivers in the country.
Can you imagine if he was still at LSU with Neighbors and Thomas and that? My God.
It was never an issue with his talent there.
Yeah.
It's always been academic. But that's the thing about the academics. It's been a problem everywhere he's been now. So, you know, does he have it figured out? I don't know. Will he have it figured out? Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I'm not yet buying that Deion Smith is a possibility for Mississippi State. I'll put it at like 1% just because I don't want to ever say never.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty close. I just don't buy it right now.
Another player that's kind of was in that boat of not interested in Mississippi State and now kind maybe sort of interested in Mississippi State is Daniel Hill, the big time running back out of Meridian. This is a guy that for months Mississippi State fans have been like, why is he not interested? And some people try to tell him, like, he's just not interested in Mississippi State. Enter Jeff Lebby, and now there appears to be a wisp of interest. It all starts with one thing, right? He has to visit. He hasn't visited Mississippi State. He was not here during the summer. He didn't come to any camps here. Until he gets on campus, you can't take that seriously, correct?
Right. That's been one of the guys that I've always said, like, just get him to campus. If you can get him to campus, that means he's interested. So far, he hasn't done that. And he's had a ton of opportunities to do it. He just hasn't done it. It's like he's been wanting to go anywhere but Mississippi State. And whenever you get those vibes, it's kind of like the Stone Blanton situation. Like, we kept saying, like, I mean, he can't go here. He can't go here. He's not interested in Ole Miss. I mean, it's got to be Mississippi State, and that's what we've said about him the whole time, and it just hasn't come to fruition. He hadn't been here, hadn't showed up to campus. You know, I just – that's another one. Until he shows up, I'm not going to believe that Mississippi State has a chance with him. Now, the moment he steps on campus, I'm changing my mind. I'm probably going to think that's a very good possibility that they can get him, but he hasn't done it yet. So I'm in wait-and-see mode with him.
We just got some breaking news here, by the way, as we're podcasting. So it won't be just breaking then, but 4-star quarterback Michael Van Buren will be in Starkville this weekend for an official visit. So, I mean, that's you have said this for a long time when it comes to recruiting. This is one of something I know you believe. It goes back to when you were one of the few people in this state that was locked in that Leo Lewis was going to come to Mississippi State, and that's you say follow the visits. You know, if a player is visiting everywhere, it happened. Who was the kid last year that everybody's like, oh, he's going to get? Was it Marquez Dortch?
Marquez Dortch, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like.
He didn't work out, but he
committed to Mississippi State. If a kid is going to your school every weekend, you're probably going to get him. J.J. Harrell was here a lot this year. Feels like he's pretty locked in.
Travion Williams. Charles Cross.
These are good examples. So now we see Michael Van Buren is going to make a visit to Starkville. You can't ever say a kid's leaning your way until you get him on campus. But if you're getting the kid on campus, that means you're in the game. That would be a big pickup for Mississippi State.
Yeah, not a big kid, but he can throw it.
Yeah.
And I trust Jeff Lebby's.
Got to trust him.
I mean, I've seen some people that have been kind of skeptical of this kid because he's, you know, under 6 feet, I think.
Yeah.
But I trust his evaluation on quarterbacks more than many in the country because he just hasn't missed on any right now. Every quarterback he's coached that has started for his offense has been really good. Now, there's only been like three or four of them, but they've all been productive. So until proven otherwise, I'm taking Jeff Lebby's evaluations on players over a lot of other people. And at worst, right now, this guy's a high 3-star on every single publication, I believe. So, I think he's a good player. Been committed to Oregon, decided to open it back up. He's not a guy that I would expect Mississippi State to play next year, but it's nice to start collecting talent in your room to have those possibilities when players transfer or get hurt. You have some nice players in there that you can work with, and this will be good that you have two four-star quarterbacks, or the high three-star to four-star quarterbacks in your class. That's a good starting point for Jeff Lebby building a quarterback room.
Speaking of quarterbacks, we got to sort of address the elephant in the room here, and that is that Oklahoma quarterback Dylan Gabriel did indeed enter the transfer portal Monday morning, as a lot of people predicted him to do. It appears that Mississippi State is at least in the race for this kid, but he is the type of player, by the time this podcast comes out, Robbie, and I'll put it up, you know, sometime Monday evening, that it's possible he's already made a commitment to a school not named Mississippi State. But it appears Mississippi State is at least in the running. Jeff Lebby gives them an in there, gives them a little bit of an advantage. But if it comes down to an NIL battle between Mississippi State and Oregon, Oregon's probably going to win that battle. I mean, that's just the way it is. Oregon's top booster is Phil Knight. And I don't know who Mississippi State's top booster is, but it's not Phil Knight. So what are your thoughts on Dylan Gabriel? Obviously, from an offensive scheme standpoint, he's the perfect fit. But does Mississippi State have a real chance to get him here for the 2024 season?
The question will be, you know, how much he values playing for a contender. And I think that that's one thing that you have to consider. Now, the money is important, but I think people are making too much of the money part of it, because I believe State's going to be willing to give him a really good NIL package. And a lot of these guys will take a cut to go to certain places. So I don't think it's going to be boil down, you know, 100% to Oregon paid me more than Mississippi State. I think it's going to boil down to more. Does he want to win, compete for championships right away? Because I mean, nothing against Mississippi State, but it's going to be much tougher at Mississippi State next year to compete for a championship than it will be at Oregon. They have a roster that's built to win right away. And he's going to come right in to a team that competed for the Pac-12 championship this year. And Mississippi State is kind of rebuilding a little bit, and it's year one with Jeff Lebby. So that's going to be a question. And, you know, how much does he want to play for Lebby? He was going to follow him to Ole Miss. He did follow him to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here we are. He's got a chance to be his first quarterback as head coach. So they have a great relationship. How much does that relationship matter to him, and how much does he want to play for him next year? It would be great for him to play in a system that he's played in his entire career and have another huge season to get himself ready for the NFL. But I just don't know where his head is as far as his decision-making process and what is the most important thing to him. Yeah. Oregon's been the heavy favorite since he entered the portal. A lot of their people have been talking about how good they feel about them landing him, which a lot of times is a good indication when all the sites are on the same page. The smoke has not been as loud for Mississippi State. No, it was loud that he could potentially enter the portal, but it hasn't been, you know, screaming loud that it's going to be Mississippi State where he ended up. So I'm still skeptical. Again, get him to campus. If he gets to campus, I like State's chances, because if a guy is taking the effort to go to a campus, he's very interested in your school, obviously. And I just don't know if Dylan Gabriel is going to want to come to Mississippi State without seeing the school.
A lot of Oklahoma kids in the portal today. I got to think at least Lebby's going to grab a couple of them. You would have to hope that he has those kind of relationships. Let's stay in the portal for one more thing, but that's going the other direction. What are your thoughts on the crystal ball today that for Will Rogers to Washington?
That kind of caught me off guard. I will say I kind of like the fit.
Okay.
Like him out west, it, to me, is a better fit than being in the SEC.
Don't you think that if Washington can get the guy that we saw play South Carolina, that can work? And I think if you get Will Rogers protection I'm not willing to put too much on Rogers this year. I feel like the coaching was so bad on that side of the ball.
Oh yeah, I'm not at all.
I mean, I feel like
they didn't do enough a good to bring coach. It out.
He'll figure out how to use Rogers effectively if that is indeed where he ends up. It's interesting, and obviously, you know, Dylan Johnson, who I think has another year left, is probably pushing for this over there. which is fine. It's interesting though that you know, you think about all the surprise that was had here in the South with Bo Nix going to Oregon and then becoming a really good quarterback there. It will be double that if Will Rogers goes to Washington and has the kind of year that Penix had this year for the Huskies.
Yeah. I am really interested in see what they do because, you know, that is, to me, kind of a step down, like, talent-wise from Penix. But he has a lot of weapons around him. If he can just get them the ball, he could have a big year there. Mm-hmm. But it does seem to be that's kind of the loudest team right now. And, I'm kind of surprised by that. It's just kind of a little bit of a random spot. It's kind of like Dylan Johnson. Like that was always random to me.
Mm-hmm.
How it ended up being Washington.
It worked.
I don't know what the connection
is.
Worked
out. Yeah, we talk about that all the time, and I don't know if it's a state fan thing or not, but you always see when somebody pops up on the board is like, oh, this player may be interested in Mississippi State. What's the connection? Sometimes kids just see Mississippi State and they're like, I might want to go there. They might just be a fan of Dak Prescott. They might just be a fan of Jones or something. They're like, you know, they don't always have to be a connection. You know, Dylan Johnson going to Washington, yeah, that was because I thought a lot of people had him pegged for Ole Miss. A lot of people had him pegged for South Carolina. He ends up at the Pac-12. Now he's going to play for a national title. So it's worked out for him. So we'll see what happens with Rogers. I'm also fascinated that, you know, we're only a day in here. We're only a few hours in, really. There hasn't been a lot of traffic coming out of Starkville yet, though. You're not seeing a lot of guys hitting the portal. I mean, you've seen a few already that happened before Lebby was even hired, but I thought for sure he'd have 7-8 more guys today, and I haven't seen that yet.
I think the big one that's got the possibility of moving out is Xavion Thomas.
Yes.
And to me, not a huge surprise if and when that happens. He's got somebody around him that's been trying to make him and LSU a thing for a while. That didn't happen last year, so he came back. I've just never gotten the sense that Xavion is going to be a long-term guy here.
Yeah.
It's always felt like this was kind of a placeholder for him until LSU had a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's fine. I mean, kids in Louisiana want to play for LSU. I mean, I think he's always wanted to play for LSU. They didn't think he was very good coming out of high school. It was kind of like the Malik Nabers thing. Like, they just kind of kept him warm the whole time. And then, hey, we got an offer for you. And when daddy says come home, you come home. And that's what this feels like it's going to be. But, like, here's the thing. Like, look at all these schools that are losing players. And I think state fans, like, they get so attached to these guys. You just got to let go of that. We've talked about it all the time. You cannot hitch on to these players. You cannot get emotionally attached to college football players anymore, because at this point they're all just kind of hired guns, so to speak.
Yeah,
they just bounce around. It's just it's just guys in jerseys at this point.
Yeah. Ohio State today had 7 4-star and 2 5-star players hit the portal. I mean, guys are just going to hit the portal, and they're going to see what their value is. And I agree with a lot of people who say everybody should hit the portal. You should at least put your toe in the water and see what you can get, right? If you can get a better deal somewhere else, I mean, take it is how I would look at it. So
the problem is there's a lot of people that are going to do that and screw themselves.
Right. Yeah, you need to like be really, really sure before you do that you're like, hey, if I can come back, right? If I can.
There's like a catch-22 with it, man. Like, there's a lot of guys that get this advice. Oh, you can go out there and make you some money somewhere, and nobody bites.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose your spot where you were. Right. I've seen it happen in Mississippi State. Guys do that. And I've seen guys that had to sit out a year because nobody picked them up.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get a place in D2.
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous game to play. There's some guys that can do it, and there's a lot of them that can't. There's a lot of them that's going to go down, a road that they don't want to go down. So it's kind of a catch-22. Like, I don't know the right way to handle all this. You know, I think it is important to kind of know your worth, because I am all for and have been all for these players earning the money they deserve. These guys, I mean, I get the argument about the scholarships and all that, but these guys are making millions, helping make millions of dollars for universities. And in return, like, a scholarship's great, but that's just a portion of, you know, what you're really worth. And a lot of these guys deserve a lot of that money. So I'm all for those guys kind of figuring out what they're worth or whatever, but some of them, they're kind of screwing themselves by jumping in the portal and testing it out like that.
See where it takes us. Very interesting first day of the portal and, of course, of recruiting. We'll see how it continues. I mean, we are, you know, what is it, 16 days to signing day. So, you know, names are going to start popping up. Commitments are going to start happening at some point. It's going to be interesting to see who ends up here in Starkville.
One more thing, too, on quarterback. Dylan Gabriel would obviously be the number one guy you want just because of the fit. It's not a situation where, like, if you miss on Dylan Gabriel, you should start freaking out. State has a lot of options here. I don't think there that Levy's going to have a shortage of opportunity. So, you know, they got a chance to – if it's not Dylan Gabriel, don't start, you know, burning your Jeff Levy shirts just yet. Just let him see what he can do.
Well, what are the Levy shirts? What do they say? We had Swing Your Sword. We had
Swag Estate.
Swag Estate. Okay. And we had Dan is the man. We had more cowbell. What are we? What say? Like, what's the play on his name? We got to come up with one. We'll think about that.
And we'll work on that.
We'll workshop it, and we'll get one out. And
well, apparently autocorrect changes Levy to Lenny now, so we might need to go with something Lenny.
I miss Lenny's. That was a good sub shop here in town. I wish was.
And you know, we finally got a name that you feel like people can spell correctly.
No.
And autocorrect now changes it.
Yeah. By the way, I want to point out, this is a great tweet today that I saw from Junction Reports. And one thing I love about Thunder and Lightning are the side stories that no other podcast would include. You think Bart and Charlie would tell listeners if they fell through a chair at Commodore Bob's?
That's right.
It's true. We are.
You don't get that on Out of Left Field.
We are the podcast of the people. We are the people's podcast is what we are.
Actually, Bart does have some good stories from time to time from you know, whether it be Nanawoya or whatever.
Don't pump them up.
I like them.
I do too, but I'm just saying. Don't.
State just offered a Arkansas State linebacker who had a pretty good season this year, Javonte Mackey.
State needs linebackers. That's a guy. He's got to look at that depth chart and say, I got a chance there. So what kind of stats on this kid?
Yeah. 84 tackles, 7 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks.
Those are rookie numbers. All right.
We as a redshirt.
Those numbers up.
As a redshirt freshman.
I'm just saying, you know, we got to replace like 250 tackles and like 14 sacks and 5 interceptions. All right. Those got to be replaced. So we got to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
Well, hopefully, you know, he's not the one having to make 250 tackles. And
that would be a record if he did.
20 sacks or whatever.
If he makes 250 tackles, he's the first pick in the draft. No question. Like, that kid was everywhere. Watch their film. He made every tackle. Gosh. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Go for a steak. Steak is good. Beef is going to be my big Christmas meal this year. I'm doing a prime rib for Christmas.
I think we're going to do prime rib as well.
See, it's just smart business, my friend. That's what I'm talking. So
that Becky said, let's do a turkey, and I was like, no, turkey's had its day.
I'm
ready for beef.
Yeah.
So I have pushed for either a Boston butt or a prime rib.
Boston butt's good, but prime rib is better. I mean, there's just no getting around that. So this holiday season is the time for beef. Santa loves steak, by the way. If you leave a steak out for Santa, you will get better gifts. I'm just letting you
know.
That's
true.
Right off the top. So enjoy it. Enjoy the holidays with some beef. Beef. It's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And it's just It makes it really easy on you. It's one spot. It's right there in the middle of the Cotton District. Great spot to hang out, enjoy yourself, and eat some of the best food, not just in Starkville, but in the SEC. There are not a lot of restaurants in the SEC better than Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy a great time each and every time you're at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the home of smoked Southern soul food and a Bulldog Initiative business. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you, but they deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. When you need technology for your business, you want to talk to somebody reliable, you talk to Advantage Business Systems because you know that that service is going to be there after the sale. When you're talking about Mississippi people, not a 1-800 number, not a call center, not an out-of-state technician, a lot of times they can take care of you the same day because they're just a couple hours away. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. The Collegiate Collection at The Rogue has the pullover or the polo you want to get this holiday season. Great name brands, great styles, and they have the logos that you want. No banner M to worry about, guys. They've got the M over S, the interlocking, the state script, and they make them look good. You don't have to worry about wearing a polo that for some reason has green on it. Why does it have green? I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but it does. You don't want that. You just want a maroon polo? We got you covered at The Rogue. Shop at The Rogue in Jackson or online at therogue.com. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. I really thought, this is 2 days in a row, by the way, that the topic I thought we were going to lead with is not the topic that we've led with because other things have happened. Or in this case, Robbie, they haven't happened. I am pretty surprised that as we sit here, it's about 2 o'clock on a Monday, Mississippi State has made no announcement of coaching hires for the defensive side of the ball. You said a couple of minutes ago about Dylan Gabriel. Don't panic if he's not, you know, if they don't get him. What about panic for defensive coordinator? Have we reached that stage yet? Can I throw things?
I'm a little concerned, yeah. At this point, you have your entire offensive staff hired. You only have one defensive guy. And you have a transfer portal beginning. You got players you're trying to keep here. You got players you're trying to bring in from the portal. What are you selling on the defensive side of the ball other than Mississippi State puts guys in the league? You got to be able to sell something. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that I think it's at this point, we don't know anything while we're recording. So I don't think it's anything like they're keeping stuff under wraps or anything like that. I honestly don't think at this moment that they have anybody lined up.
Right. I'm with you on that. I don't think it's they're waiting for, you know, I don't think they're waiting for me to go on the air at 3 before they put this information out. Now, if that is the case, well, then kudos to Brandon Langlois and his staff. I appreciate you gave us some content. Maybe we can talk a little bit less about Ole Miss and their bowl destination today. We can keep the topic on Mississippi State. But yeah, I think that they're scrambling's not the right word, but I do think that they're you know sort of the same situation you saw with Barbe a year ago. I think they're past 1 and 2, and they're looking at 3 and 4 on the list right this second. The rest of the staff will fall into place once you have the defensive coordinator. You know that's when you'll get your linebackers coach sorted, your corners and your secondary. Also, got to get a special teams coach unless Lebby wants to double up somebody and then put another, I don't know if you want to do that. You do outside, inside linebackers or something like that, or sort of what State did this year with safeties and nickelbacks. Or they did that 2 years ago, I'm sorry, under Leach, because there wasn't a quarterbacks coach because you had Leach. So that'll be interesting to see how that ends up working for Mississippi State. But I definitely feel like they are down the list a little bit here, and then just have to wait and see on this one. I mean, when's your panic day? Wednesday?
I'm kind of getting there. I'm kind of starting to get a little concerned. We haven't even really seen concrete names.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It could be a good thing. It might could be that our days of getting information are just kind of numbered and they're doing a better job of keeping the leaks, you know, plugged over there. But at the same time, you're correct. It could be just that the fact that nobody means there's nothing to hear.
We knew basically all of the assistant coach hires on the offensive side of the ball. before they were announced.
Yeah.
Like, it, to me, it's just like, where are the leads? Where are we going here?
Mm-hmm.
What's the connections? It feels a lot like the offensive coordinator search last year.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Another,
the only thing that I'll say is, like,
go ahead.
It takes some really bad defensive coordinators to stink at Mississippi State.
It does.
Like, if you got, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody that would be like, you know, State hired Chris Wilson,
mm-hmm.
and then Jeff Collins. He and Jeff Collins were like co-defensive coordinators.
Correct.
And they didn't have a whole lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So, like, even if State hires somebody that doesn't have a ton of experience, I mean, for as much as we talked about how bad the defense was this year,
mm-hmm.
they were middle of the pack in total yards.
Finished sixth.
So, just with what you recruit to the area here, like, it's really, really hard to screw up Mississippi State to make it the equivalent of the offense that they had this year.
Yeah.
So, I will say, like, I'm not as concerned about the defensive side of the ball at Mississippi State as I am offense moving forward. But you do need to get a guy in here that's going to be able to recruit to the talent here, because you have another good class next year that's going to be able to entice people out of the portal and develop. It doesn't need to be somebody that I think that's never done it before or anything like that. But if you can get a guy in here that has experience as a coordinator, even if it's a guy that's not going to excite a lot of people in this fan base, I think that you've done okay, because you're going to score points. Mm-hmm. That's why you hired Jeff Lebby.
Right.
To take your offense from, you know, 20 points a game or whatever it was to over 30. And at that point, you just need somebody to slow down the other team's offense to give your offense a chance to score a bunch of points. So, you know, hopefully they're able to make a hire that's good enough that's going to be able to make Mississippi State a – I mean, you just need to be decent, I think, on the defensive side of the ball.
Great. Agreed. A little breaking news here. Chad Simmons, director of recruiting for On3. On3 is that website I've mentioned a couple of times, Robbie. Anthony Maddox Jr., the Texas A&M commitment, the quarterback, we talked about him on yesterday's show, he'll be at Mississippi State Thursday for an official visit. So
that's interesting. So they're bringing in AJ and Van Buren this weekend,
which can't bode well for Josh Flowers, right?
Well, I mean, they just visited him last week.
Do you think they visited him to tell him, hey, good luck?
I don't think so, but...
Are they just recruiting Maddox as an athlete, and are they just going to get him on campus and figure it out from there? I mean, I've been saying that for years, that Mississippi State is the worst at just figure it out when she signed them. Sign them and then figure it out. If they hit the portal, but I want...
I don't know where he fits.
Which one, Maddox or Flowers?
The wide receiver?
Maddox?
Yeah.
I mean, is he a good enough athlete to play receiver or play in the secondary?
I haven't seen him at those positions, but I know he's got a good arm on him.
Well, or maybe, like I said, maybe they're not taking three high school quarterbacks. We just know that that's a fact. So
but maybe they're it's first come, first serve, and you just see.
Well, in that case, Flowers is already committed, though, right?
But I mean, out of the other two.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, that could make sense.
I don't know. Interesting. I mean, again, this is all about stacking talented quarterbacks
mm-hmm.
in your room, and the best man wins, and mm-hmm. you get the best guys that you can in here and go from there.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
It's not a bad thing to have good talent in there.
Rather have more than less, I'll tell you that. All right. Tomorrow's show is the rumblings, but if there are coaching hires that could disrupt things, we will do the rumblings one way or the other, I promise, but we may have to talk some coaching stuff as well. Guys, have a great Monday and our Tuesday, and Robbie, I'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.